Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, welcome to Three Muses in the Universe. Today we are going to talk about empowerment, and our show opening did not start, so that's why that moment of silence. So, where would we like to start?
Well, I can definitely throw a question out there regarding empowerment. I'm wondering if how well we know ourselves has something to do with the foundation of this.
Mm.
How well do you know yourself? Because how can we be empowered if we don't really know who we are and what we want?
That is such an excellent point.
Excellent question.
And how do you know? Because you have to weed through the forest of who you're supposed to be, who people are projecting onto you, their needs, you know,
mm-hmm.
what they need you to be,
mm-hmm.
what you see in the media. Now, I don't think anybody really knows themselves at all, except for the few. I think the secret of charisma is self-love and self-knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. But you bring up, others' points of view, and I feel that's another really important point in empowerment too, because empowerment is all about coming from the inside out rather than the outside in, or maybe it's a little bit of both ultimately. But if you're hooked into others' expectations and you're trying to please everyone else around you, then you're certainly not going to be empowered, because your power is being, I started to say taken from you, but really it's yourself giving that away.
Mm. I went through a phase, years ago where I was really just trying to figure out who I was that is genuine to me, just going back to the point that Mary said. And I determined in a lot of ways, like, I can't tell if, say, my love for American Idol, watching American Idol or whatever, is that genuine to me, or is that because my mother raised me and we listened to music and we sang a lot? You know what I'm saying? I mean, maybe that's not the best example, but there are a lot of things that happen when we're children that shape who we are, that may not be genuine to our soul, that we don't know that. And I guess, with me, I just determined some of these things I'm not going to be able to tell, but if it's something that I like now, then it must be genuine to who I am now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that is such a good point. Back in the early 80s, it might even have been the late 70s, I'm not sure. I read a book, Seth Speaks, Nature and Nature of Personal Reality by Jane Roberts, and it was the first time I ever heard the words, your beliefs create your reality. I went on a multiple-year process of deconstructing who I was. I tried to get down to the core of me where there were no beliefs. And I mean, this was in virtual isolation. I had one friend and at times two friends to talk to about this. But it was in isolation, and I got down to find my core self, my core essence, that wasn't a belief, just like you said, about do I like this because my mother does or whatever. And I just found like there was this pure consciousness, and I realized that that's when I was in the mode of experiencing and everything else was a measurement. But I really do think you're bringing up a good question when we talk about knowing ourselves, because who is it that we're even talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Is it our pure essence, or is it this earth body that has had their particular experiences?
Mm-hmm. We're so influenced by those who have raised us and the inherited tendencies and so on. I mean, I remember taking care of a little boy for a friend for a while. This is a really simple example, but his mother would get hamburgers from McDonald's or whatever, and she hated pickles. I mean, hated pickles. She would first thing she would do, she'd rip the pickles off of there, you know, before she would, could even, like, touch it, and she'd make faces and everything. So when I was with him, the first thing he, if he ever saw a pickle, he'd, like, take those, he'd throw those pickles over his shoulder, and, you know, start, you just become, you know, not quite violent, but, and I thought to myself, did he ever even taste a pickle, you know?
Yeah.
And I've seen family members doing the same thing. My mother never liked sweet potatoes, so I always cringed at the idea of sweet potatoes. Never had tasted one until I was an adult.
Yeah.
And some people will go a whole lifetime,
yeah,
and not expand outside of those,
mm-hmm,
you know, inherited beliefs. So I, as we grow older and we grow more mature, and most of all, you know, more importantly, that we have more life experiences to be able to discern for ourselves, you know, we're still hearing those voices of the past that are telling us what to like and what to not like and who to be and what to do and what to say and where to go and where to not go. And I think that the more that we, the more expansive lives we lead, the better chance we have of finding our true selves.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. And it is, it does involve being open-minded and seeing a bigger picture all the time, because there's always a bigger picture. No matter when you think you've got the whole thing, there's always a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so the belief that there's no, that you don't stop in that pursuit is really a good idea. But I remember during that time, I would question everything I did. I remember using Tide laundry detergent.
Yeah.
And I said, am I using this because my mother used that, or is that because I want to? And
mm-hmm,
so I walked to the grocery store and I said, which one do I really want to? And so you're exactly right. You have to open up.
Yeah. And that was kind of the phase, but that was very similar to what I was talking about too. And even this year, I've noticed for some reason I've been obsessed with just trying new things. You know what I mean?
Oh, good.
I can't even tell you how many, like, new restaurants I've been to and new
recipes
I've been trying and new cuisines that I've been trying, because partly because I just got tired of the same old thing all the time, but also because, you know, you don't know who you are and what you like unless you've tried a bunch of stuff.
Right. You know what?
You know?
One time someone gave me a plaid sweater. I maybe even said this on our show before, but it was kind of gathered at the waist, and, you know, I don't have the body type to wear stuff like that. So I thought that's very sweet, and I was going to pass it along, and I tried it on, and it was so nice, and I got so many compliments over that sweater, and I never would have bought it for myself.
Yeah.
So that's why when I ask the universe for things, I say, may my perfect job manifest now, or something like that, because if I knew what my perfect thing was, I would already have it.
Yeah.
You've got to open up. So that's such a...
Yeah, exactly. And I have a friend actually recently who did that and just got, like, her dream job, something that you know, only a couple people in the whole world are doing, and she got
it
that
worked.
Job.
You know,
yeah.
I have recommended that to people for 20 years at least, or roughly. One time I had these odd set of skills, specialties, and I looked out my window, and you say it three times in solemnness, and then you let it go. I mean, in, you know, sacredness.
Mm-hmm.
So I said it three times out loud, and I just let go of it. And within a day, a recruiter had gotten my name from somebody else, and they had this job that they could never fill because it was, you had to know accounting systems, and you had to know programming, you had to know networking, and all this stuff. It was like the perfect job, and it was $18,000 a year more.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
amazing how
yeah.
it came for stuff like
and also notable to note, my friend didn't even know that this kind of a job existed.
Wow.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And that's the kind of thing, is that you don't, you know, with the manifestation thing, you don't know what's out there. So why be specific and say, I want an Audi S-Class
mm-hmm.
when, you know, if you leave it open, yeah, exactly.
Because
ultimately, you might win a Maserati.
Want to be happy. Somewhere.
Yeah, exactly, or whatever it is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Wow.
But so the empowerment thing, this is something I really think is like a life journey. And, you know, we've got three ladies here, the three muses, we're all like in our 50s, and I feel like I'm getting to a place where where I'm becoming more empowered and where I'm saying no more, where in the past I might have said yes. And I've even noticed just recently I've had a couple of struggles because there were things that were like so sort of borderline or so special circumstances that I said yes instead of no, which is what I really meant, which is what I really wanted to say. And I see that those opportunities are coming to me and saying, okay, so where are your boundaries along this line? You know what I'm saying? And so it's just kind of interesting.
It's about discernment.
Yeah.
You know, discerning what you're really aligned with and what you're not aligned with, because we only have so many hours in the day. We have endless choices. We could live anywhere. We could hang out with anybody. We could partner up with anyone. We can do any kind of work, any sort of hobbies, any kind of creative artistic pursuits. And if we're saying yes to the volunteer job, you know, around the clock, you know, I mean, it's everyone's choice to decide what they want to do.
Yeah,
but as we're doing it to please others, not that we should be so self-serving, but I think just the balance is the key, and just discerning what you're most aligned with.
And that is so true. And if you think of what is the core of empowerment, it is the belief that other people have power over you. And I think that we as women are programmed to think that.
Yeah.
People in general, whether it's your work status, your, you know, whatever it is. So what if we didn't have, if we had the belief or did not have the belief that other people have power over us or circumstances do, we wouldn't really need empowerment, correct?
Well, yeah, and you know, that
people do. I mean,
right.
In a 3D reality, it is true that it appears that people do have power over us,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
conditions do. So I'm not making that trite. But.
Yeah.
But it's actually only true if we allow it to
That's
be true.
Yeah. So empowerment is not allowing that belief to be true.
Yeah. And in the context of what Sheila originally posited to the table here, is that the more that you know each other, the less that you allow the outside to define you, then the less you'll get all the people who say, oh, yes, but you love doing my laundry, so do my laundry. And for that minute, you believe that you love doing their laundry,
mm-hmm.
and you do their laundry.
Mm-hmm.
So, the more self-referenced you are, I do agree.
Mm-hmm. And we're so influenced culturally, too. Because the media, the advertising, the pop culture tells us what we should look like, what we should wear.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to wear clothes that look so out of fashion and so out of date. And yet, you know, how important is that really to our, you know, happiness and fulfillment, and especially our empowerment? So those who are more empowered are the ones who perhaps, you know, I happen to see
they do lead
a bit of an interview with Drew Barrymore that was on the OWN channel, and she was talking about her father, John Barrymore Jr., who was part of that original Hollywood set back in the talkie.
Mm-hmm.
He came from that, but she said, you know, to look at him, he didn't wear shoes. He wore clothes that were just crazy. He was just his own person. He really didn't want to be a father. And she said at some point before he died, she had a moment of respect for, you know, him being, you know, original. But sometimes we regard these people as freaks.
Yeah.
But really, who is the empowered one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And it makes it such a hard road to if we're all judging these people, if we're all judging people on a weird or not scale, you know what I mean? It makes it really hard to be the person who's trying to forge their individual path,
right.
You know.
And that whole mentality is the tribal mentality of be like us, stay like us, do like we do, be, you know, in order to bond together for power in a savage society,
mm-hmm.
And while there's still parts of our societies that, you know, are savage, we really can come out of that, you know, in, at this point in time.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's what is meant by ascension, which is rising above any of that stickiness.
But how lonely is that path?
Well, I got to say, I think I hear what you're saying about being lonely. I think ascension is a bilocation. It's not a monolocation to be. So as long as you have part of you there to keep perspective on things, because we wouldn't be here in this world of territorial animals if we weren't to learn something from it. You know, why would we bother to incarnate? It's a lot of trouble.
I'm still stuck on bilocation. Go back.
Okay.
So explain what you mean by that.
Well, there is this, I had a dream. A lot of things are explained to me in dreams. In the dream, I was walking, and I had had a stroke in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And the room was swimming and, you know, going sideways and everything. And so this presence came and said, hold on to this knowledge of what it used to look like when things weren't swimming around. And stay in that, and then allow yourself to experience it with this higher knowing. And so I had a lot of dreams that did that. And so during some particularly challenging times in my life, I would sit in that higher knowing that everything is stable while I allowed myself to walk through it. And then I didn't get sucked into it all the way, but yet I could see it and have an awareness of it. Does that make any
That's
sense?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like a certain amount of detachment or whatever.
So I think what people tend to do is either go all the way in that mind and live in a cave, and then why be here? Or they get so totally submerged in the dizziness that they forget who they are.
That's, you know, I've been studying the way of conscious evolution for many, many years. And black and white thinking is a tool of the past that had it served its purpose in millennia past, but this multi-perceptive sense is definitely an evolutionary tool. It's so interesting to hear you describe it that way.
Yeah, amazing, and that's interesting. You know, this is one of the things that I learned from you, though, too, when you were saying that black and white thinking, is that one of the things that I learned from Mary is that there's always a third thing, right? So black and white, the third thing is that they're colors. So if you just, so I see a color, it's not black, it's not white, it's a color, you know what I'm saying? And that gives you like a more of an objectivity, and you're not going to one pole or the other, you know what I'm saying?
Or it's an opportunity to hold both things true at the same time.
Yeah,
like my belief conflict resolution that I did from automatic writing back in 2000, it said to list out, like, let's say you want to write a book, list out all the beliefs. Oh, I'll be famous, and then I won't have any privacy, blah, 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 all the different beliefs. And then you come up with a unifying statement. So in a way, it's like that. One time, many, many years back, I was a restaurant manager, and I was making a nightly deposit, and a guy came up and held me up with a gun and had it to my head and everything. And I used the bilocation at that point. I rose up and I said, okay, this is a larger picture, whatever happens, you know, whatever. Now, what is the highest outcome for this? And I was also aware of my physical self, like, freaking out, like not being able to think straight.
Yeah.
And so I think that we have those opportunities in life, you know, to do that. And so the third thing was, yes, I have a gun to my head, and the guy means business. He has baggy over his hand, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere by myself. And then the other thing was, just do these things, and everything will be okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that people with death experiences, that's one of the things they get, because once you get out of the brain, you can't really go back in. And I was born with a cord wrapped around my neck 3 times, and they had to revive me. So I don't know if that started my path, because it's been since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But that would explain the other perspective apart from the dreams.
Well, I had just recently had an experience in a meditation, and this is kind of interesting because now this is talking about going beyond self-knowledge and empowerment, okay? And anyway, the whole thing, I can't tell the whole story because it's just too long, but basically it was as if a death experience that I was going through in this visualization. And at one point, I said, I'm becoming less individual and more universal.
Mm.
So the more we flux the I,
mm-hmm.
and the more that, you know, that we even, I guess, even worry about empowerment. You know what I mean? The more
that's
that we kind
of
dissipate
yeah.
into the whole.
It's true, because if you were the only person in the universe.
Yeah.
Or if you were,
if you were the universe, yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't need to be empowered. So empowerment itself really implies contrast, or
yeah.
competitiveness, or contrast, or divisiveness
yeah.
between yourself and others.
Yes. So is empowerment a spiritual goal, or is it something beyond empowerment? Is that just
a
signpost along the path?
It's an ego. You know, it's an ego perspective.
Yeah.
And is empowerment just removing the belief that someone has power over you?
Mm-hmm.
Which would...
Very good.
Which would
yeah.
get to the place where you're out of struggle. Because everything ultimately will be, how can I be out of struggle? How can I hold those points of view to create a whole?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think that if I look at areas I've tried to empower, like women empowerment, it means empowering yourself over that strong belief in men that you're less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then the flip side of that, though, is that our perceptions of those boundaries that create friction and create the struggle, in one sense, is a catalyst for us to be better versions of ourselves.
Yeah.
Because if you're not struggling, if you don't want to be better, or if you're not struggling to overcome empowerment, you could really, you know, on the one hand, you could say you could sort of ruminate in peace. You could sort of, you know, stay in peace. On the other hand, it could be stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
So it, in a sense, it can be a catalyst for us to evolve even more.
Yeah.
I mean, you could look at it as, oh, this is my opportunity to evolve more in whatever way I choose.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I see that because I'm thinking now about how if you truly believe that you are source and that you are creator and that you create your reality, then empowerment's a non-issue
mm-hmm.
because you're always in power.
You're in the power seat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so a search for empowerment, even though we all search for empowerment, is really in a lot of ways a search for a fuller embodiment of the belief that we are conscious creators in everything that we do.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
And if we align with that, then we're ultimately always creating in either a way that is either going to evolve ourselves, it's going to evolve others around us because they're going to be reacting to whatever ways that we're acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that there's in the biggest picture, in the biggest perspective, there's always a balance because we're always balancing each other.
Yeah.
Reaction is about balancing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so true that the whole evolution thing, we are going to evolve. Either we participate in it consciously or it happens, it seems to happen to us.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, becoming aware of both realities is so important, that there's a truth in that that can't be had in any other way. You know what I used to do when I would have an argument with someone or a disagreement, not necessarily an argument per se, but a disagreement of sorts. And this gets into this idea that I'm trying to empower my point of view, they're trying to empower their point of view. I rise up my consciousness to go right between us, and I pretend that I'm both me and that other person. Like, how would I feel if I was both of us?
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a truth, a different truth than you could ever get in the fight.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we started out this show talking about empowerment as this great thing that we all need to do, and are realizing that, hey, maybe that's just a territorial
yeah.
battle of urinating our territory lines with
mm-hmm.
each other,
uh-huh.
and it's not even about that.
Right. Or you can look at it as it, you know, empowerment is simply one slice of perspective
mm-hmm.
of the whole, or, you know, universal autonomy or authenticity or, you know, universal empowerment.
Yeah. So let's just say empowerment equals telling yourself it is safe to be who it is I really am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
In a way.
Yes.
Like, like whatever I was afraid of, whatever had me oppressed, mm-hmm. no matter how terrible it looked, it's just me encountering a fear,
mm-hmm.
nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
And no one has, you don't even have to engage with anyone to
mm-hmm.
be empowered.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the most empowered perspective is to clear, to clear the clutter, to clear the old beliefs, to become more of yourself, to discern, to decide where you want to go, and then to proceed on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you said, you know, then what you have to deal with is, you know, even when you're there mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, we still have the physical world to deal with, because we're going to have to deal with the reactions of the people around us who are, don't want us to evolve.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
So then, you know, do we teach? Do we respond? Do we just move along? How do we deal with that
yeah.
sort of aftermath of?
I think that's where seeing everything as the same thing manifest on different frequency bands is very helpful. So let's say you're working on a belief that you have a right lovability to be who you really are. If you're working on that on spirit, it's going to manifest. And usually if it's manifesting in physical, it's because you haven't heard it. So dealing with everything from that level is really the key. But we all get caught up in that physical thing.
Yeah.
But if you do, just accept that too, because you're doing exactly the same thing as up there. It's just a lot harder and slower because you're using external technology instead of internal technology.
Well, you know, yesterday I actually had, you know, what you were saying about the empowerment being sort of a reflection of your own fears or whatever, you know, that asserting yourself in that way. In that somebody had kind of invited themselves over to my house or whatever, and I said, no. And that person said, oh, well, I hate to be, a weed on your, you know, which was a guilt manipulation. And so I didn't respond to it or anything like that. And so I saw that person yesterday, and they said, I'm so sorry for that exchange that we had.
Did you see them at your place or someplace else?
Oh, well, we were going to a concert together anyway.
Okay.
So it was a plan. And they said, I'm sorry for doing that. And then, you know, in that moment, I thought myself, you know, I thought it was nice of them to apologize for, you know, because maybe they had realized that they were kind of going guilt on me
mm-hmm.
as well. And I said, you know, the truth is that maybe I'm a little bit too, you know, overly enforcing of my a fear that I might have,
mm-hmm.
you know, of being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of saw that. I was empowering myself by saying no,
mm-hmm.
but it was coming out of a place of feeling like I had to enforce my boundaries,
yeah.
feeling that I had this fear,
so
you know what I'm saying?
It was empowerment out of a sense of disempowerment.
It was empowerment, because if I was genuinely... I think that person wouldn't have assumed themselves on me if I had better boundaries.
Right.
To begin.
So what's that true empowerment then?
God, I don't know, Sheila. I don't know.
I want to come over to your house. What do you think about that?
Well,
are you going to help me?
Why don't we look at it this way? If we feel like we have to protect,
yeah.
we are believing a lie.
Yeah.
That someone
yeah.
else has more authority than we do.
Yeah.
How many times a day does that happen to all of us?
And that is how I feel sometimes when I can't say no, is that this person somehow could force me to do it if I didn't.
Yeah.
But you're digging in your heels.
Yeah.
Empowered.
Swinging the pendulum a little too far the other way.
Empowerment.
Exactly.
Well,
we're getting low on our time. Can you believe how quickly
we got another half hour on that
one? I know. Okay, but we'll continue on these subjects and more. So tune in about a month from now is when we do.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of shows in the archives. And you can always reach us. We have a Facebook page, Dream Muses. And please contact us through that or through any of us. All right. Well, with our joy and honor.
Our joy and honor, yeah.
See you next month.
Okay.